Superhuman eyes. Accelerated evolution.
Imagine an uninvited guest inside your body, one that could be silently wreaking havoc on your health without you even knowing. Parasites, those unseen invaders, are far more common than most people realize and can be linked to a myriad of chronic conditions. Research shows that nearly 1 billion people worldwide are affected by parasitic worm infections annually, leading to chronic inflammation and a host of health issues from autoimmune disorders to mental health problems. Today's guest, Sheila Madavi, is an expert who specializes in these hidden threats. As a nutritionist, detoxification specialist, and herbalist, Sheila has made it her mission to uncover and address the often overlooked issue of parasitic infections. Her journey began with a personal health transformation where she reversed a pre-diabetic diagnosis using diet and natural remedies, igniting her passion for holistic health solutions. Sheila's company, Food Over Drugs, focuses on promoting natural health remedies and educating people about the medicinal properties of food, emphasizing the use of high-quality, organic, and wild-harvested herbs free from pesticides and preservatives. In this episode, Sheila takes us through the dark, often misunderstood world of parasitic cleansing. We discuss the subtle signs and symptoms of parasitic infections, the surprising connections between parasites and chronic diseases, and the impact they can have on mental health. Sheila also shares insights into how the lunar cycle influences parasitic activity and why timing is crucial for effective parasite cleansing. Sheila, welcome to the Superhumanize podcast. I'm super happy we're connecting because your life and mission revolve around something that I am super passionate about. Actually, two things that I'm super passionate about. One is herbs, and the other is education. So I'm really thrilled that we're going to have this conversation today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited also. We're really glad that we're doing this.
Yeah, and your personal health journey is particularly inspiring, especially considering your transformation from being diagnosed pre-diabetic to an advocate of natural remedies. And I'd love for you to share more about some of the pivotal moments and challenges in your journey that led you to embrace and also become an advocate for food as medicine.
So I was diagnosed when I was about 15 or 16 years old. I was in high school. I was diagnosed pre-diabetic, and immediately the first thing that was medication that was prescribed to me by my doctor. And I remember at the time my grandmother was also diabetic, and she was taking the exact same medication. It's called metformin, very popular one. And I remember just thinking to myself, I didn't have any knowledge of any type of natural way. I was very young. And at the time, the medical doctor had this kind of superiority in my family. Like, whatever the doctor said goes. We don't question the doctor. We don't go outside of what they recommend. And so I thought I'm supposed to just do whatever they say. But what happened was I was thinking about it and I was like, this just doesn't feel right. This doesn't sound right. I don't think I'm supposed to take this. I don't know what it was that I just didn't resonate with it. And I was like, I really want to try doing something else. And at the time, I didn't care about what I ate. I wasn't thinking about food. So I was eating like a lot of junk. Like I was eating Pop-Tarts, like corn dogs, like greasy. It's like I just ate whatever tasted good to me. And I thought about it and I was like, okay, what if I just stopped eating junk for a while? And so I changed my diet just slightly enough to get by. And in 6 months, I went back to go get a blood test. And the doctor was like, wow, the medication's working really well for you. And I was shocked because that was the first time that I was witnessing not only one, a doctor not being able to tell that you didn't take the medication that you chose, that I did it another way. Two, the fact that I was able to do this on my own, that was a huge moment for me. And then three, I was like, wait a minute, why didn't he tell me that I could have done this? And I just kept my mouth shut because I'm sitting there with my mom at the time and I'm like trying to pretend, yeah, I took your medication. But that never left me. I never forgot that moment. And so when I went on to my university and I was choosing my degree, I became really passionate about nutritional science. And so I wanted to end up studying that. And that was really the core of how it started. And I learned later on about the corruption of the food and drug industry and how we're in a lot of westernized countries, we're not taught that there are other ways to heal. And it's medically forward here that literally families and generations are growing up thinking like they only have one choice. And soon enough over the years, it just developed into this massive passion of mine to teach people how they can not only heal themselves naturally, but then, you know, going into the world of detoxification, how they can even reverse certain conditions.
Yes. And we're going to talk a bunch about detoxing. I find your particular story so beautiful, Sheila, because it illuminates how you can go from what seems like a challenge and is very scary, and it is a challenge, but move from that into a huge blessing. And the blessing does not only envelop you by you taking action, but now this blessing extends to so many people by the work that you do, by the passion that it ignited. And I can completely relate to what you said about the processed foods and junk foods way back in the day. Oh man, the garbage that I ate, and it didn't taste good to me at the time. And I've noticed over the last few years, particular moments, let's say you're just traveling and going from one place to the other, you do not have time or forgot to prep something. And then just out of being so under sugared, and I can't function when I have blood sugar is low, I literally won't even drive my car when I'm hungry, because that's how it affects my cognition. So anyhow, and then a few times over the last few years, I would eat something highly processed that back in the day, I'd be like, oh, that's delicious. What a treat. And now, oh man, it actually tastes disgusting to me. And you become used to whole foods. And yeah, we live in a culture where we're completely disconnected oftentimes from nature. And I'm reading a really fascinating book right now. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's by a gentleman named Jeremy Narby. It's called The Cosmic Serpent. It's mind-blowing. So it touches upon herbalism, but it goes much deeper than that, origins of humanity. He talks about an incident. He was in the Amazon with an indigenous tribe, and he shared with them how he had back pain that he'd had for many years. Nothing fixed it. And a man who was a healer and an herbalist told him, you can drink. This is not endorsing this.
Yeah.
I've never tried this. Ask the doctors, but anyways, or don't ask the doctors rather. But he gave him an herbal brew that was Sanango. And he said, this will fix your back pain. You will be wobbly for 2 days. You won't have control over your limbs and you may have visions or whatnot. But so Jeremy Narby decided to take this, and everything the healer said happened. He felt like his bones were made out of rubber. Took him 48 hours to regain full control over his body movements again. But he said his back pain that was chronic was gone, and it had not returned at the time where he was writing the book many years later, and it hadn't returned ever since. So anyways, the healing that is inside of herbs and that can also activate the healing inside of ourselves. My mind boggles every time I hear or read about something like this, even though I'm deeply aware of this. It never ceases to incite awe in me. Now, we live in a very fast-paced world that is not in connection with this ancient knowledge and not in connection with nature, which actually also teaches us about this when we listen. Our world is very fast-paced. People are looking for super quick fixes for their health problems, and they often overlook root causes. I'm curious, Sheila, when you talk to someone who is just deeply ingrained in conventional medicine, like you mentioned your family before, how do you convince somebody to consider a holistic approach to their health, one that involves going on an herbal protocol?
That's a great question. Okay, so first I want to say I can't convince anybody of anything. And I truly, though, I really mean that. I used to want to try and convince somebody. I used to want to in one conversation inspire them to see it in a different light. But I've learned over time that it's like different, almost like moments of enlightenment. It happens for everybody at different points. And even for yourself and myself, like no one could have told us at one point. No one could have inspired us. It's just in one conversation. Oh, you know what? That thing that you're doing, stop doing that. Do it another way. And then we would have like changed our lives. And so I realized that the best that I can do is share information in pieces. And when a person decides to put those pieces together to see the grander picture of things, that's how it starts to land and register for them. So for instance, like my father, I love him. And we have an inside joke over the past maybe 10, 15 years where he loves Diet Coke. He loves certain things. And like he's such an advocate for Western medicine. And he's actually like, I know, I believe what you're doing, but this medication, I need this medication, or this is the answer in like modern medicine. And he's very about it. And so I don't resist that. That's the first thing. It's not useful for, of course, our own time and energy to spend with certain people. And sometimes I also believe on a larger scale that like what people sometimes believe is their medicine ends up being their medicine. So I'm not here to change their mind. But what I have learned is that, it takes pieces of information to start to build the bigger picture. So today my father is now believes in my formulas because now he actually tried and used the formulas that I've been making. And he's, wow, Julia, I didn't know it actually could work. And it's, we're laughing about it because he's been such a support of my business since the beginning of it. But it takes people some time just like giving it a shot. And yeah, it's just, it's an interesting journey. I don't know exactly how to explain, but I have learned that it's a piece by piece experience. To some people, it lands immediately, and other people, you're just there present, like almost like holding space for them until the pieces come together. You're not judging them, because how can I judge somebody when I was literally once in that person's exact shoes? And the only difference is like not having the information, not having experienced it. And once you experience it, once it's true, once you can feel it, and once you're even on the other side, like the example that you use when you say, my taste buds are not the same, I cannot enjoy the same things that I used to enjoy, that is a part of your actual body transforming. Then you know it's true. No one can convince you otherwise.
Yes. And with the exposing people again and in small bits, that's like planting seeds. You just give them the space for that to unfold. And education is a core component at your mission and your company, Food Over Drugs. Your educational efforts have actually reached people in, I think, over 21 countries, which is really a remarkable achievement. You post content across social media, amongst other, and I think you're reaching like 500,000 people on TikTok alone. And what difference or maybe commonalities have you noticed in the reception of natural health remedies, herbs across different cultures?
Okay, so that, I love to read the comments on TikTok, because what was so crazy about it was, I just a little bit of background for those that are listening. I started in 2020. I started making these videos to talk about these different, very common herbs, spices, fruits, vegetables, and even mushrooms, talk about like their medicinal benefits. Some of them are commonly known. Some of them is new information for, I would say, most people. But what was so interesting was like when I would talk about a particular spice, even take cloves, for an example, I talked about the antiparasitic properties of cloves, talk about, you know, the fact that you can use cloves. It numbs your mouth, and it's used in a lot of like mouth aid ointments or formulas. And what was so cool was seeing people from literally around the world commenting, saying, yeah, my mom uses this for me every year. I remember my grandmother. And they start sharing their stories about how their families actually use them. So not only what it did was validate the truth of this type of medicine for people who have never turned to these foods as medicine. But then
I love, real quick to interject, cloves. I have a particularly wonderful memory about that. I grew up partially when I was a little girl in Delhi in India. And I remember cloves were integral. For example, after a meal, people there would chew on dried cloves for to cleanse the mouth and also to get fresh breath. And it was part of the oral hygiene.
Yeah, it is. And it is because it's antimicrobial, antibacterial, antifungal. It has so many very powerful properties to the point where you use clove oil, it can literally by itself can burn your flesh. It's a very powerful herb. But exactly. So it and stories like that, I think were just the most enjoyable part. But I think not just for me, but I think for other people to be able to witness like real life stories of how people actually use them. And then to see other people comment and say things like, based on your video of asparagus, I told my mom about it and she started incorporating asparagus into her diet. And I'm just like, that is literally exactly what I wanted to create. I wanted to create content that inspired people to incorporate these things in their life. We're not sitting here saying, oh, scratch out everything that you know. Here's the new information. This is the new way of life. But it's, hey, did you know that a turmeric root can be used for Alzheimer's disease or dementia? Did you know that they can be used for gallstones? Did you know that there's so many different medicinal properties of various plants? In my opinion, there is something for everything, but it's just that we don't know about it. And to approach a platform like TikTok and open up the conversation was probably just the most beautiful thing to witness, because this was the first time, I think, for a lot of these people that they actually had a platform, like a mainstream platform where they're talking about this stuff. Because otherwise these conversations might happen, I don't know, maybe in school, maybe in the conversation with somebody randomly, but not on a public platform, right, where people are actually, yeah.
A beautiful thing. And I really feel we literally have the world at our fingertips right now, and we can get in touch with content that can be helpful for our lives in the way that it also feels good to me. Not everybody wants to read studies. People want to be entertained. People want to get bite-sized pieces that they can easily understand. So the work you're doing is so important, Sheila. And one of the big areas of your focus is also parasite cleanses. And there's close to 300 species of parasitic worms that humans can host. There's over, I think, 70 species of single-celled parasites. And I think in 2020, I read something in a study, was over a billion people dealing with certain parasitic infections. Sometimes on social media, you come across things where parasite cleanse results are shown. Toilet bowls or such. I find that kind of stuff fascinating. It doesn't gross me out. Great, you want to get the stuff out, right? And parasite cleansing is often a topic that's often either misunderstood or overlooked in mainstream health and discussions about health. And it's so important. Can you share with us a little bit about some of the signs or symptoms of parasitic infections and explain why they are more common than most people realize?
100%. Okay, first of all, whatever you just said is true. It does affect billions of people. There are literally thousands of different species. There's actually more species than we've even studied, because some of them are so microscopic that we have not yet got to discover all of them, which is like anything, of course, in the world, our own ocean. We have not yet explored all of them. But yes, we've already discovered, of course, thousands of them at this moment, knowing that there are many more. And yeah, parasites have been said to be the most underdiagnosed health condition in westernized countries. I'm going to say the United States, for example. Doctors for the longest time, and still till this day, a lot of them don't acknowledge parasitic infection as something that is a possibility. And when we talk to people who grew up in other countries around the world, they might tell you, oh yeah, my mom had me cleanse from parasites once a year. Or it was something that was spoken about. And I always actually share this, you know, a little story, like in the Persian culture, and I'm Iranian, we even have a saying, when a child can't sit still, we look at them and we're like, Karamdari, which means, do you have worms? Mm-hmm. And it's a simple acknowledgement of the fact that they might possibly have worms in their body. But in the United States, this isn't something that people talk about. So most people don't believe that they could possibly have parasitic infections. And a lot of times the signs and symptoms don't show up for people. So they assume I eat clean. I live pretty clean. Like, why would I have parasites? If I don't have diarrhea, if I'm not throwing up, there's no way I can possibly have them. But the truth is that you can literally get parasites by eating sushi. And most people do contract them by eating sushi. It's actually extremely common. You can also get parasites by gardening with bare hands. You can also get parasites by grounding, being barefoot in soil, touching public services, or being around small children or animals. It is part of life. This is not something that, you know, we can avoid. It's just part of our, it's part of life. It's part of our ecosystem. And so the most common symptoms of parasitic infection are, number one, the most obvious one that I think if somebody were to say that this is what's happening to them, I'd be like, go do a parasite cleanse, is that they experience anal itching. And this usually happens in the evenings. So not during the daytime, because if it's happening during the daytime, usually that means you just didn't wipe well enough. But if it happens in the evenings, this is a sign of parasitic infection.
Why evening?
Okay, yeah, I thought you were gonna ask. Evenings is when parasites are most active. So majority of parasites are nocturnal. And so the typical signs that you experience from them happens in the evening. Another one that happens in the evening is cravings for sugar.
That's a question. So these parasites live inside of us. How do they even know whether it's light or dark outside?
It's beyond them relying on the light. It's even just the way there's an intelligence that lives amongst all beings that know, that have a reference of the presence of the sun and the presence of the moon. And of course, both, but even the presence of or the time of year. So it's the same way that certain plants know when it's harvest time or when it's fall. Everybody feels it. And even humans feel it. We're not always aware of that, you know, So they know, just like how other nocturnal animals will know as well, but they're not choosing necessarily to shut their eyes through the sunlight. That's their way of being. They're night beings. But yeah, they're most active at nighttime. So yeah, so another one that I would say is cravings for sugar. This usually, again, happens in the nighttime. So it's not like somebody like has this sweet tooth and they just love cakes and cookies and things like that. It's like all day they've been fine and then it's 9 p.m. and they just absolutely need something sweet. That is a symptom of parasitic infection. Mm-hmm. Other ones I'd say is, another one I would say is teeth grinding. So teeth grinding is linked to parasitic infection because some parasites lay eggs and they tend to lay them in the jaw muscles of mammals. We know this from cattle farmers who observed their cows. Whenever the cow would be acting off or grinding their teeth, they go to slaughter that cow and they cut through the jaw and then eggs come out. And then when we see with human beings, when they grind their teeth at night, a lot of times if you do a parasite cleanse, many times you stop grinding your teeth. And so there is that link there. So for me, whenever I hear somebody that grinds their teeth, I'm like, rule out parasites first, then look into, okay, do I have TMJ or something else that could possibly be contributing to grinding your teeth at night?
I have two people that immediately came to mind grinding the teeth. I just feel really relieved right now because my booty doesn't itch at night. I don't get sugar cravings at night. I don't grind my teeth. Right. Okay, what else? I probably still have at least a dozen parasites.
You know what? I'll tell you more about that in a moment. The other one, though, is seasonal allergies. This is a lot of times people who just develop seasonal allergies more recently. It's not like somebody who's had seasonal allergies since they were a kid. Maybe that is a case, but it's usually I see it in people who they never had seasonal allergies before. Out of the blue, they develop it. Parasites do mess with your immune system and they do make your immune system overreactive. So you would then be reacting to natural pollen or things that wouldn't typically throw you off. I always say do a parasite cleanse and then rule that out. And then you can look into things like singing nettle leaf or something else to support the histamine release. But I can't tell you like how many times I used to host guided parasite cleanses for people and I would take on groups and I would just be working with them throughout the days. And I used to ask them all, what are some of the symptoms that you guys experience? And I gave them a list of a bunch of things. And those people who experience seasonal allergies almost every single time no longer experience seasonal allergies at the end of the parasite cleanse. And I'm telling you guys, like, whoop, like you, if you experience seasonal allergies, at the very least, do a cleanse, see what happens at the other end of it. And you may literally not deal with that anymore. And so there's certain areas that I feel like parasites contribute to so many very common conditions that we're not aware of, or we don't talk about, or we're not. And so people just go about their lives and they're like, oh, I experienced this. Oh, yeah, this happens to me. And we just go about our lives. But then once you do a parasite cleanse, it's almost like we didn't realize that the possibility of living without that was even available to us. And so
it's normal to have this or that. And I think something else that is so crucial, and I want to go into details of parasite cleanse in just about a minute, Sheila. I think something else is also super important is the intersection of parasite infection and mental health. And that's an emerging field of study with profound implications, because the inflammation that parasites can also cause, it can be related to depression and anxiety and all kinds of other things. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes.
In your experience?
Yes, yes. Okay. Another symptom that I didn't mention was brain fog and anxiety. So I don't necessarily, when I hear brain fog and anxiety, and I go, oh, you must have parasites. But it's just something to also keep in mind that if that is also coming up, it's something to look at. But yeah, parasites do create anxiety. You will notice it in more extreme cases. Usually, that's not the first thing that comes up for most people, but they do. They not only feed off of heavy metals, and especially when cleansing from parasites, we have to start to experience like the release of some of their toxins. And so we actually get to really experience that. But also, parasites have been linked to things like schizophrenia, even down to like very deep mental disorders. And you have to understand parasites, if we look at parasites and their agenda, I want to say, parasites, their goal, first of all, is to decompose. That's why they're here. This is why I was talking about how we can be scared of them all day, but it's just part of our life. But when we see them as they're the decomposers of our earth, it becomes like a little less scary. Like they're not these like crazy entities, you know, out there, but rather it's, oh, they have a role and they're here to complete their role. So what they're here to do is find weakened organs, tissues, organisms, and fecal matter, and decompose it so that new life can form. And one of their ways of doing that with a host is taking control of the host and continuing to degrade the host and driving it to the certain habits and mental thinking to run it into a particular direction. So all of these aspects all feed ultimately the parasite while degrading the human, the host. So they do impact our mood, and even with mood swings. It's in a similar way I would describe it as, it's like PMS, you know, or it happens to everybody. It's not just females. Females are just a lot more, I would say, sensitive, and I don't like to say prone because anybody is prone to anything, but we're just more sensitive. So we feel it on a lot higher scale, I would say. But everybody, they can experience these shifts in moods, and it does affect our sleep. It does affect our ability to feel calm, our ability to think clearly, our ability to make decisions based off of who we truly are versus what might be driving it. Even just on a very simple example, like our cravings, like when we start to crave things that we don't typically eat. I gave the example the other day to somebody where I'm like, if you're randomly craving Kraft macaroni and cheese, and you know you haven't eaten this like for 12 years, like it's something to think about, because they do drive you to crave things that you don't typically eat.
Wow.
It is all driven to decompose the being, you know?
Yeah. Oh God, what a gnarly vision. That sounds, yes, I know they have their role and they're part of nature. And here's where my writer's mind goes into overdrive. It's still like a horror movie. So they're trying to decompose you by a Kraft macaroni and cheese. That for me is like pretty, pretty awful. You talked about how it can also affect sleep. So let's say, oh gosh, I know quite a few people who are really dealing with chronic sleep disorders for a long time. Now, they can also be traced back to other things, maybe also PTSD or certain trauma or whatnot. How about if somebody always like at the same time wakes up. Let's say somebody goes to sleep at, I don't know, 9 or 10, but then they always wake up at midnight or at 1, like clockwork. Boom, they wake up and then they can't sleep anymore. Could that, there's a lot of it, could be this, that, but could that potentially be also related to dealing with parasites?
It absolutely could. And remember, those are the hours when they're most active. When they are, I would say, even agitated. Sometimes this happens like in the first couple of days of parasite cleansing also, you agitate them a lot of times and they move and they are displaced. And so they could cause people to be restless. Restlessness is another symptom of it. But yeah, exactly. Waking up in the middle of the night is definitely a symptom of them as well. But yeah, like you said, when we're like, I don't like to take some of these like symptoms and say, well, then you absolutely have parasites or you must do a parasite cleanse if you experience this. But if we're being real, absolutely, it could 100% contribute to it. But it's almost like the person would have to do a parasite cleanse and then let us know after if that tends to go away. So it can actually start to pinpoint where did it come from. And it must have been due to parasitic infection.
Yeah. And talking about nighttime activity and also the phases of the moon, traditional medicine has long recognized the cyclical nature of parasitic activity, particularly around the lunar cycle. Can you share with us on how the phases of the moon influence parasitic activity in the human body and why specific timings are recommended for parasite cleanses?
Absolutely. Yes. The full moon. First, let's back up. The full moon impacts all beings that contain water on Earth, whether it be the body of water itself with the tides of the ocean, or a fruit that is ripening around the full moon. Everything reacts to water here on Earth. So parasites are one of those as well. And eggs from parasites typically hatch around the full moon. And also the full moon is when they're most active as well. So typically it is standard to cleanse from parasites around the full moon every month. And it's also standard to cleanse for a 10-day period. Usually you would start 5 days prior to the full moon and then go on 5 days after the full moon for a full 10-day window around that time. But yeah, the full moon is definitely a part of that. So we actually offer the dates because, you know, who wants to sit there and calculate? I don't even want to sit there and calculate the days of every month. But we've pre-calculated all of those windows for the rest of the year and, of course, you know, beyond. And so we offer them on our Instagram, on our website and things like that so that people, if they ever want to follow that full moon window, they can. And, you know, what ends up happening is, of course, you can cleanse from parasites at any time. There's no one's going to stop you from, especially if you sit there and have a dream that you have parasites. I say, listen to your intuition, listen to your dreams. If that's the case, don't let anybody stop you or any timing stop you. But if you cleanse from them outside of the window or outside of the period that they are, you know, maybe most active or the eggs tend to hatch, then you might not get the ones that are in their egg form. And so what ends up happening is later when they do hatch, you're going to have to do a second cleanse. So I just usually recommend people aim for the window as much as they can. And then, of course, you can do it at any point of the year. It would be ideal to do it around that period. Then again, though, everything in nature is very fluid. There's no need to be very rigid with the start date and anything in that sort. We are natural beings. And so you would still get the most out of it if you can do it at any point. But I highly recommend full moon cleansing. That is going to be the most ideal.
That makes total sense, Sheila. And with regard to the herbal remedies themselves, there's a variety of them for parasite cleansing. The efficacy of these different treatments can vary, however, and I'd like to know, what criteria do you use for the most effective herbs for parasite cleansing, and how do you ensure the potency and also safety of these treatments?
Okay. Yeah, great question. So first of all, I've seen people make parasite formulas on the market where they only focus on the antiparasitic herbs. The biggest one that people are most familiar with is wormwood, black walnut hull, powdered arco bark, clove. They might use garlic. They might use neem. But they really only focus on the antiparasitic herbs, nothing else. And so what ends up happening is a lot of times people take these formulas, and because there's nothing else in the formula that supports the rest of their body in the process of a cleanse, a lot of times they end up feeling like shit. And they start to feel all the feelings of what's going on in their bodies. And so when I was making the formula, I kept parasite cleansing, the whole cleanse, in mind. And so there's other herbs in the formula that I make or we make that support the process of detoxification, support the process of cleansing from parasites. So for example, you're going to need to have bowel movements when you're cleansing from parasites. If you are constipated, you are not going to feel well. So we add, for instance, cascara sagrada bark to make sure that you have bowel movements every day, if not 2 to 3 times per day is the ideal amount of bowel movements that you should really be having every day, but definitely during a parasite cleanse. We also put turmeric root in there to support for inflammation. Turmeric is also anti-parasitic on some level, not a very powerful one, but it is as well. And so that supports with inflammation, which comes up during the killing of parasites. Echinacea is another one. Your immune system is going to need it when you are doing a cleanse. And then additionally, we include plantain leaf to support the lymphatic system because you need to be moving your lymph while you're doing a cleanse. And then lastly, we add cardamom for the anti-nausea agent. And it, not only does it smell beautiful, and it's also a natural preservative. Nausea comes up when you're cleansing from parasites. So those components all together make for a very well-rounded formula, and it's made for a parasite cleanse so that the person ends up being able to release these and not feel like absolute shit as they're doing a parasite cleanse. And so a lot of our reviews will tell us that it's a very gentle cleanse and it's also very effective. And you asked something about the potency of our herbs. The potency is actually the biggest component for us and one of our biggest like priorities when we come to when we make anything. So what basically when I started to make these herbal formulas back in the day, and I didn't get to share this with you, but I started the business. It wasn't a business. It was just me making whatever herbal formula that I could for anybody who was taking any type of medication or had a condition. I was like, can I make you something? And I would go and I would actually just go and put something together and be like, hey, can you try this and just see if it helps? And the formulas that I was making were working. And that's actually how we started making these formulas for different people. The parasite formula was one of them as well. That was just once upon a time, a custom formula that I made for somebody. But I already knew in my mind, like, if I ever made a parasite formula, this is how I'd make it. And finally, I was asked and I made it. And of course, it just blew up. But anyway, when I was making these herbs, originally, I remember when I would be purchasing the herbs like in bulk, okay? And I didn't know where to buy good quality herbs from. So I was just getting them from these like mainstream herbal companies and I didn't know the difference. So I was like, okay, I guess this is what plantain leaf looks like. I guess this is what singing nettle leaf is supposed to smell like. I didn't know the difference. And then when I continued to purchase and I started to see the quality difference, I'm like, oh my God, that's what red clover is supposed to look like? I'm like, I am never using this old version again because it hit me that the reason why so many people feel like herbal formulas don't work for them is because their experience was using a product that had very low quality herbs in them. And I was one of those people too once upon a time where I tried something and I was like, damn, I thought this was supposed to work. Like, what's going on? Until I started purchasing. And when I started purchasing and seeing the difference in quality, I'm like, oh my God, this is why people don't experience the truth of the power of herbs. Because literally everywhere you look on the market, we have these very mediocre grade herbs and the companies behind them don't care to sit there and give you higher quality anything. They're like, why not? But when it comes to herbal medicine, and when it comes to a position, and I take this on, and not every company might want to do something like this, but I want to convince people that this works. I'm not trying to just make a formula just to make a formula. Like I hope that what I create is the product or is the formula that changes a person's mind about mm-hmm. the possibilities of what herbs can do for you. So,
Pearl, you're speaking my language 100%. I want to highlight here. I'm just going to advertise for you here a little bit. Like, I really, from what I've learned, your company's commitment to high quality, pesticide free and preservative free herbs is just so commendable. And what you were talking about I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm like, I want to do Parasite Cleanse with you. So I'm excited about it. Usually be like, all right, I haven't done one in many years, actually. And it was always like, oh, I'm going to do Parasite Cleanse. And I'm like, I want to do Parasite Cleanse.
I'm glad you're excited. Some people are usually scared going into it. So it's funny. I'm like, I'm also trying to calm their minds. I'm like, nothing to be scared of. Don't worry. You got
And you mentioned it briefly before, the people, the unpleasantness that people can experience, especially when they take parasite cleanse formulas are just not as well thought out and they only focus on the parasites. There's this concept of the Herxheimer reactions, which are basically also die-off reactions. And a lot of people are quite daunted by that aspect of it. Now, with a really well-rounded herbal formula, you can work around this, such as the ones you offer. Can you explain what these die-off reactions are and how people can actually manage these and why experiencing them may actually be a positive sign during a cleanse?
Yes. Yeah. So first, let's talk about the positive signs. If you're experiencing, this means that the parasites are dying. So it is a good thing. And a lot of times people are like, it makes them cringe. And I completely understand that. But it is a good sign. So some of the things that are very common is restlessness. We talked about this a little bit before, but like the first 3 days, you might experience that. I always feel like that. Everybody has a different experience, but I usually experience restlessness the first couple nights that you're doing it. You experience it during the day. You can start to feel like you're a little like out of it. You're still capable of working and doing and going about your day, but there is a little bit of an uneasiness, a little restlessness that comes with it. So that could affect your sleep for the first, I would say, 2 nights. Usually by the third night, you're fine. But that can happen. For a lot of times, people can experience headaches. People can experience, especially the people who experience headaches, I do want to say it could be caused by 2 things. 1, the die-off process. But 2, if you're choosing to eliminate caffeine and for any reason you've been drinking caffeine regularly for a long period of time and your body's actually addicted to caffeine, there is a caffeine headache that can come if you actually stop. And a lot of people, when they're doing a cleanse, they do choose to stop certain things. And I recommend it, especially if you're trying to balance your adrenal glands, like why not? But that can also happen as well. Other things that can come up in general, especially if you are committed to doing like a full detox when you're doing a parasite cleanse. Okay. First, I will say this. Every single body is different. So I can list 1,000 things that could possibly happen. And by the way, maybe none of them even happen for you or whomever is listening. But what ends up happening a lot of times is skin conditions can come up. They can flare up. So anything that you might have had happen in the past, whether it be something like eczema or psoriasis or even acne or a rash, could randomly come up. Tends to happen, especially when you're detoxing and you're detoxing very quickly. I mentioned headaches. I mentioned sometimes like a lightheadedness or dizziness can also happen the first couple days. And then also if this is very specific, but if you have been chronically constipated, a lot of times there is a rush to go to the bathroom the first couple days. Everything, though, that I've expressed is temporary, and that's something important to remember. Obviously, from, you know, a legal standpoint, from a brand standpoint, we always say that if anything is too much for you, then pause, you know, altogether. There's no need to push yourself. But the truth is that when your body is trying to release anything, it will find all pathways to release that. A big one is our skin. Our skin is our largest elimination organ, and it's also our emergency elimination organ. So that if the body is, I need to get this out and I need to get it out now, no matter where it is in our body, it doesn't matter if it's on our scalp and on our arms, wherever it is, it's not going to wait until it reaches our bladder to be excreted or our colon to be excreted. It will literally choose our skin. Sometimes, of course, like our eyes or our sinuses, but really like it will find our skin as, let's get this out now. So things like this can come up, but I would say that the best thing to do, generally speaking, first of all, people forget this all the time, but literally stay hydrated. Don't forget to stay hydrated. We literally forget to drink water. We think we've drank something because we drank coffee. But first of all, myself included, coffee is dehydrating. So it sets us back even further, by the way. We need more water to replenish ourselves after we have urinated so much after having the coffee, because we urinate a lot more than what the coffee actually is. If you really measure that out, you're going to notice that you're releasing way more water. So my point is, going back to it, is hydrate. That is very important. Another thing that is very important for cleansing in general, make sure you're sweating, make sure you're moving, make sure you're stretching, because you want to open up your body to such a point where whatever is stuck can move. Some people have also asked, okay, can I get colonics and enemas? I'm like, absolutely. Get things moving. When you get things moving, your body actually starts to heal, because whatever is trying to get out, whatever is causing disruption is what's trying to get out. That's the bottom line. Anything that's causing this is just, it's on its way out and it's already entered the bloodstream. So all you have to do is support the body in trying to release it. So that can be colonics and enemas. It could be getting massages. It could be going to the sauna. It could be just simply drinking more water to allow the flow. Those are some excellent things to incorporate, especially if you're starting to experience some of these symptoms where you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable right now. What can I be doing?
Super. And how about foods? What types of foods would you generally recommend to eat and recommend to stay away from during a parasitic cleanse?
Okay. The best way to do a parasite cleanse, and this is not for everybody because I understand like it's a jump. Best way to do it is to have a raw fruit and vegetable and nuts and seeds diet. That is the best way. Now, that's not attainable for everybody. So I always say do it the best you can. If it happens to be cooked vegetables along with it, fine. Just make sure you're getting a lot of fruits into your system and that you are also trying to eat as much maybe raw salads, smoothies, juices, things like that to alkalize your body and induce detoxification. That's going to really allow for whatever waste is caught up in certain areas like your head, the tips of your fingers. Because we have to remember, whenever we have waste, by the way, everywhere, we literally, if you think about it, we have our NyQuil from when we were from however many years ago in our toes.
Like, oh, for
what? Yeah. So when we're moving and when we're detoxifying, we have to get whatever is trapped in all our tissues from all over the body to be excreted. And how do we do that? We have to support the body in its circulation. And some of these foods support the body in circulation, and some foods stagnate the body. So we'll talk about some of the things that stagnate the body and that are not supportive for parasite cleansing. The first thing is meat. So I'm not necessarily advocating for any particular diet overall. Everybody has their own ways, but specifically for detoxification or for parasite cleansing, you do want to avoid meat and fish. Two reasons. It's not only the source of parasitic infection, because you don't want to sit there and be eating something that is now introducing parasites into your body as you're trying to cleanse from them, but it's also the source of their food. And so you don't want to have something that is going to feed them, of course. Another third component is, if you want to go into the depth of detoxification, is that meat produces acid in the body. And so when you're trying to cleanse from anything in general, you want to eliminate the production of acid. So meat is a big one. It requires the most amount of acid to be broken down. It has acid as byproduct. There's a lot of acid in the meat category. And so number two, another one to avoid is dairy. Dairy produces mucus in the body. It is what it is. I love dairy, but it produces mucus. It is what it is. So when you're trying to cleanse, mucus stagnates the lymphatic system and it stagnates the lymph surrounds every organ. So it ultimately, it stagnates the organs. And so when you're trying to cleanse these organs, and remember, you need to, if you're going to get rid of whatever is there at that time, then you want to eliminate dairy from the diet to allow the body to eliminate that. The third thing that I recommend, and again, as I go through this list, I'm mentioning it in priority. You know, the number one, I would say meat and fish is the first one. The second priority is eliminating dairy. The third priority, if you're willing, is to eliminate starches and grains. The reason for starches and grains is it is constipating. It is that simple. We need the colon to be open, moving, flowing. Bread, pasta, rice, these things or products of these things, even chickpeas and pea protein types of things. So this also goes for like when people are adding their pea protein to their smoothies and things like that. I don't recommend it. It is constipating on some level. Even if we don't think we're constipating, it does stagnate the colon. So you want to open up all pathways. And so that's usually what I recommend. It's not obviously for everybody, but I do offer that information so that if you're willing, go for it. If you're not ready, don't worry. You know what I mean? Do it. Follow the order as best as you can. If you need to continue to having some type of starches and grains, maybe you want to do a sweet potato or something like that, or chickpeas or some type of hummus or something like that to make you feel better, go for it. Make it work for you. I think that's the most important part, more than trying to stress yourself out and say, oh my God, I can't do this parasite cleanse because there's no way I can do this raw food diet. No, do the parasite cleanse. The parasite problem is going to work, but do this part as best as you can because that's going to support the process and you're going to feel so much better after the fact.
I love that approach. I really love that approach, Sheila. And God, we're running out of time. I'm having so much fun talking to you. I wanted to also do a deeper dive on detox with you, but maybe we do that in a follow-up conversation if you're so willing, because this was really excellent. And I would like to tie up this conversation in the hopes of inspiring maybe carrot and stick for inspiring our audience to maybe consider a parasite cleanse. The stick would be basically, what are some of the, maybe you have one or two examples of the gnarliest parasites you ever come across in your studies or even in your experience working with people? And then the carrot would be, what are some of the most amazing effects people may feel after a parasite cleanse?
Okay. So I have so many photos and videos of people having released parasites, which is the most beautiful thing, by the way. I also just want to say that there are some people who are very scared of seeing parasites in their stool. And I just want to quickly mention, you're usually not going to see them. You can, but...
I would want to.
Yeah. So if you want to look for them, you keep chopsticks by your toilet. And every day after you have a bowel movement, you go and actually break it up and start looking for them and you can pull them out. It's pretty cool. I love it. I'm glad that you love it too. And you can pull them out and see what came out of you. That's the most magnificent thing to see. But I think the most beautiful aspect of it is when people tell me stories about how they have literally been dealing with these digestive issues for years, trying different medications, different types of antibiotics, and they literally could not get to the bottom of it. One person was telling me a story about how she had IBS for many years and did not know how to heal it. And after doing the parasite cleanse, she literally doesn't deal with this anymore. There's so many stories on there. And I honestly, if those people are interested in learning about other people's experiences, our reviews on our website are authentic and people share their true stories. I highly recommend reading them. You'll start to see how people's bodies have actually transformed and all the kind of before and after of what happened, what were they experiencing before and what are they experiencing now? People say I can't even tell you the life-changing stories that I've seen from people doing them. And it's made them want to do this every year, at least every couple months, because they realize the importance of it. And I think that is, you don't really know your true capacity as a human. You don't know your true level until you have actually cleansed yourself so that you can actually start to feel yourself. And I think that's a very important part to note, because we don't know our full capacity until we have actually gotten to the other side of something. And I know, I assume that since you've done some cleanses, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, we never knew until we start to feel and we're like, oh my God, this is what I can possibly feel like. I haven't felt like this for many years. I want this to be my new reference point. I want this to be how I always feel. And if I ever feel too off from this point, then now I know what I can be doing to get back to here.
It's also really good to take note of how we're feeling, whether we're feeling miserable, but to have a diary, hey, these are the symptoms I'm experiencing. I'm really unwell physically here, there, or mentally, emotionally dealing with X, Y, Z. Because oftentimes when we start to feel better, we forget where we were, and then we don't take as good care of ourselves anymore. And also, once we feel really good after liberating ourselves from something, let's say like parasites, it's great to take notes too. Hey, this is the date. This is what I did, X, Y, Z. And now I feel so amazing. Because if we, by chance, slip into not feeling as well anymore, we can take reference. We can look, because we tend to also forget that something got so much better and changed so much for the good, unless we're really aware of these things. But, you know, I myself, sometimes I go through routines and I just have to function because I'm doing so many things. I tend to forget, even though I know what the tools are. So I find keeping journals is super helpful. And I'm going to actually go to the website and read some of these reviews. These personal experiences shared fascinate me always. And people who would like to get in touch with you, Sheila, and would like to find you online, connect with you, learn more about the work you do, how can they do so?
They can find us on Instagram or TikTok. Both of them is at Food Over Drugs. And our website is foodoverdrugs.com. But yeah, they can of course reach out to us there. They can send us a DM. We do answer DMs. We're here. I would love to answer questions. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was really fun. Talking about parasites. I enjoyed it so much. Yeah, beautiful. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to connecting soon.
Yeah, same here. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. If you're as passionate about transforming your life and reaching your peak performance as I am, I invite you to join my newsletter. Think of it as your weekly dose of inspiration and knowledge to supercharge your journey to becoming superhuman. Start optimizing mentally, physically, and spiritually today. Just head over to superhumanize.com/newsletter and sign up. Trust me, your future self will thank you.